And the children are excused to Children's Church. There go two brave ladies. How many preachers have we got here this morning? Let me read you a verse out of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 1:9. It says, "Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." This verse, written by the Apostle Paul, is given to each of us. There are several important truths in this verse about what the Bible teaches about God's children. It's very important to the believer who's attempting to please God and the believer who's attempting to do his will. It's one thing to read the Bible. It's one thing to believe the Bible. But that doesn't necessarily mean we have to do the Bible or that we are doing the Bible. I have told you for 8 years now, I've been pastor here for a little over 8 years. 8 years and 2 months. Who's keeping track? Okay. God has a purpose for each one of you. You are not here without purpose. And God has a purpose. At the end of this service, we're going to have a business meeting where we will establish what we are going to do as a church next year. Will this time be important? I believe that it will be. I believe it'll be extremely important as we choose either to follow the leading of God's Holy Spirit or follow our own desires. We have a choice. Each of you have a choice. You can exercise your free will. That is, you can do as you please, or you can discern what God wants you to do this year. God didn't save us because he had nothing else to do with that day. No, he had a reason that he paid the price of your sin. Because he caused you, before you were conceived, before there was anything in the way of a universe, before Christ ever created the first atoms, God had a purpose for you as an individual, as a person, preferably as one of his children. And if you know Jesus Christ this morning, you are one of his children. And he has a purpose, a specific purpose for you. Before you were ever conceived, that purpose was set up for you. God had a definite purpose in saving us. And that purpose was established before anything existed in this world. God gave you a purpose before you were ever born. You were born for a purpose. God had something he wants you to do. And he really does. And it's important. Are you going to do God's will or are you going to do your own will? You know, it's sort of sad to think about the fact that most Christians, born into this world, never understand what God's purpose for them is. When I was in college, in Bible school, when I was in seminary, numbers get thrown around all the time, and just like they tell us that, you know, there's a 3.5% unemployment rate. In the world I live in, it's a lot higher than that because there's an awful lot of people not working. But numbers get thrown around. And there are people living here in the greater Charleston area, North Charleston area, Somerville area, Ladson. People who go to church on a regular basis, just like you're here this morning. Back in 1963, 64, 65, while I was in college, the number of Christians they figured were in the churches were 5 to 6%. Think about that for a minute. 5 to 6% of the people in churches were really Christian. That leaves 95 to 94% who really were not Christians. What makes a difference? The difference is the Holy Spirit living in your heart. The difference is not just repenting of your sin, but actually being sorry for it. Of thinking it through and showing contrition to God. When I don't know how Tim picked that first song, but boy, that first song almost brought me to tears this morning. As I thought about how great God is and how much he loves each one of you. What he's willing to do for you. He is great. He's such a great God. God caused you to be born because he needed you to do something. You say, well, I'm not worthy of serving God. Yes, you are. He wouldn't have saved you if you hadn't been. And that's what he saved you for. He saved you to serve him. If a born-again believer doesn't determine what it is God wants them to do, they're going to waste their whole life. There's a reason that God has you here living on this earth. There's a reason that he is permitting you to breathe and he's giving you air to breathe. There's a reason that your heart is circulating the blood within your body. He has a purpose for you. Matthew 8:23-27 says this, and this goes to show some of the purpose of Jesus living his life, as well as choosing disciples. Now, we're not disciples, we are disciples. We're not apostles, but we're disciples. And a disciple is simply a follower of Jesus. And I hope everybody here this morning is a disciple. But in Matthew 8, 23 through 27, when Jesus was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the seas, and there was a great calm. I don't know how many sailors we've got here. But if you are a sailor, then you need the wind to move your vessel. And if you don't have wind, you don't have movement, unless you've got a motor. But they didn't have motors back in those days. And so when he calmed the wind, when he settled the storm down, you know what happened? They all had to row. They had to start working. Up to that time, the wind was working for them. But the exclamation that he said, O ye of little faith, that's how most of us live our lives, is actually of little faith. Jesus himself rebuked his disciples for their lack of faith. Here they were with the creator of the universe, resting peacefully on that ship tossed by all those waves. He wasn't afraid. He made them. He was getting the rest he needed. And his disciples, they were looking at the situation and not the one who could resolve everything. This morning we have a Savior. I trust he's your Savior. And if he is, no matter what might be going on in your life, he is able to resolve it. Question that I often ask folks, and I may have asked you, do you believe God can do everything? Yeah, it's easy to answer that question. But the next question is not so easy to answer. Do you believe he'll fix your situation? Oops. Little faith. God didn't save us for us to sit in a pew. God had a purpose for saving us. Many times you and I do things that we want to do. And it doesn't always work out real well. There are problems that arise. There are situations that come up. And we call to God, help me, help me. Meet this need, heal this, heal that. Because our faith is small. As I read through the New Testament, I see so many places where God's purpose is presented to his child. And if you've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and you believe that he died to pay the price for your sin, then you are his child. God raised Jesus from the dead. Bless you. You got it? Thank you. You woke up everybody who was still dozing. You can do that again in about 10 minutes, okay? God sent the Holy Spirit to each one of us. He taught us that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus lived a sinless life. Jesus died on the cross, shed his blood for our sin, mine and yours. And he actually died there. They buried him. 3 days later, the Holy Spirit raised him from the dead and gave him his life back. That same Holy Spirit wants to live in your heart. And if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, he's living there right now. And he has a purpose for being there, not because you got saved, but God wants to use you. God wants you to accomplish something particular with your life before it's over. Now, you've probably heard other pastors tell you that God saved you for a purpose, and it's true, he did. What would we base that assumption on? Let's look at what God did with Paul. And let's hear it in Paul's own words. At the end, Bobby is teaching the book of Acts right now in our Sunday school class. Bobby, I'm gonna grab a few verses out of the book of Acts toward the end, chapter 26, to read. This is very important to all of us as we see what God is trying to teach us. Acts 26, 11 through 19. And I punish them. This is Paul giving his testimony. You all have a testimony. Paul's giving his, and he says, and I punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even into strange cities, whereupon as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest at midday, O king. Paul is explaining, giving his testimony to King Agrippa. At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above, the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Pricks are the devices that they put on carriages, the bar that is in front of the carriage between the carriage and the horse. And it is has a little spike sticking out so that the horse won't kick back against the bar. It's called a prick. And so he says right here, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But arise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. There's that word again. To make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, to whom I now send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they might receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. God had a purpose for saving every one of you. He did. I'm not just saying that. That's not just words. That's the truth of what we call the gospel, the Bible. God has a purpose for you. And the purpose isn't to keep this chair warm in this sanctuary. It's a lot more than that. I've shared Paul's testimony with you to show you what God, that when God calls you, he calls you to a purpose. And for many of us, it's been a lot of years since he called us. A lot of years since we answered and we said, yes, I'll accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm a sinner. I'm on my way to hell. And God saved us. The Holy Spirit caused us to be born again. But at the very moment that he saved us, for most of us, and you may not remember exactly what took place at that instant, but for most of us, at that point, God called us to a purpose. And he may even have told you what it is. But it's been years. You've forgotten. Or instead of being so bright, it's sort of dull now. You can't figure it out. But everyone sitting in this sanctuary this morning has a purpose. There is something that God wants you to do. It has nothing to do with reading the Bible or attending church. It has to do with what God wants you to accomplish with your life. There is something. You have a purpose? Is it God's? God has said that you do. He told Paul that. He told Paul what the purpose was. The night that I was saved, November 5th, 1961, God told me what the purpose was for my life. I didn't follow it. It was a number of years before I followed it. And maybe you did the same thing. Maybe you have done the same thing. But because you're alive this morning, God has a purpose for you. There's a verse that I haven't shared with you yet this morning, but it's time for me to do it. I'm so glad that Jimmy Hux was able to make it this morning. He's sitting at the back. We love you, Jimmy. We do. You know what this verse is going to be? Romans 8:28. Jimmy just laughed. He and I have been sharing that verse for a lot of years. And we know that all things work together for them who love God, for them who are called according to his, that's it, folks. You know that verse? Do you believe that verse? It's real. It works all the time. Everything going on in your life is to fulfill that purpose if you love God. Oh, it's a great song we started off with this morning. Tim, this is the Holy Spirit had to pick that. How great thou art. Oh, wow. How great he is. Now, does anybody who knows Jesus want to try and tell me that after that verse, that God doesn't have a purpose for you? He's got a purpose for you. Every one of you. Now we're beginning a new year in which we can serve God. And let me ask you, what's God's purpose for you in this coming year? He may have a purpose for you years away if you're a young person. And our really young people are in children's church. But no matter what age you are, God has a purpose for you yet. No matter what age. So we're beginning a new year. God has a purpose for you. That purpose was ordained by God before you were born. He put you here. He did. You didn't put you here. Your parents didn't put you here. God put you here. And that verse 28 of chapter 8 of Romans, we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Is your life called to him according to his purpose? And if not, are you trying to run your life yourself? Are you trying to do these things for yourself? Are you making the choices as to what God wants? For yourself. God's purpose for you as an individual was imparted to you, I believe, around the time that you were actually saved. Now, you may not have acknowledged it. You may not have realized that that's what he was doing. But why would God keep you in the dark as to what he wanted you to do? How are you going to do it? God is not a secret God. God wants you to know what he wants your life to be. That's why he gave us the Bible. Sometimes we ignore it because it doesn't fit in with what we're doing right now or what we want to do. But that's why he gave it. So that you could fulfill the purpose for which he made you. God the Father is attempting to teach you, as part of our church family, what he wants from you. That's why we're here this morning. I trust that you understand that you have a purpose to fulfill for God's kingdom here on this earth. You are not supposed to wait till you get to heaven for your service. We might say, oh, I'm going to praise God when I get to heaven. Yeah, we all are. But he's got something to do here. And it's so important that we figure it out what it is. Perhaps you've been able to ignore the call up to this point in your life. But time for to fulfill God's purpose is running out for all of us. I believe, as your pastor, that we are approaching the end of time. I see the things coming together. We think that this world's in a mess. It is. We think this government's in a mess, bigger mess, and it is. But that's all part of God's plan. When you read the book of Revelation, when you read the book of Daniel, when you read the book of Ezekiel, when you read the book of Zechariah, we are coming to a time when there will be a one world government. And we see all that's going on around us right now. We say, oh, what a mess. This party or that party is messing up so big time. God is working out his plan. And in order for there to be an Antichrist to rule the world, there's got to be a one world government, folks. We may not like what we see, but it's in God's plan. And if you are fulfilling his purpose, he's going to bless you. He's going to use you. Question. Why would God hide his purpose from you if he wanted you to perform it for him? Why would God hide his purpose from you if he wanted you to perform it for him? That doesn't make any sense, does it? Life is supposed to make sense. Let me show you an example of what has probably happened. Have you ever asked somebody to do something for you or do something, they promised to do something for them, and you've gotten busy and forgotten? I'm sure none of you have ever done that. I promised Jimmy I would take him somewhere a few weeks ago. And you know what? I thought about it the night before. I thought about it in the morning when I got up. And within 5 minutes, I had forgotten what I had promised Jimmy to do. I've got an excuse, you don't. I'm old. We made it, but it wasn't Jimmy's fault. God has given you a purpose. There is something he wants you to do. It's God's desire for you to be on his side. We are at war this morning. We have an enemy. He's a very wicked enemy. He's so wicked, he got thrown out of heaven. And that's wicked. And he's here moving amongst us. He's only one, but he's got lots of soldiers. We're at war. And God intends to win that war, and God's going to win that war. I want to be on the winning side. I want to be doing what he wants me to do. I hope you do too. Your purpose, whatever it is in Jesus Christ. Your purpose, whatever it is in Jesus Christ. I'm going to read three verses and we'll close this service. But listen to this. It's in 1 John chapter 3. That's that little book at the back of the Bible. 1 John chapter 3, verses 6 through 8. It says, "Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, shown, that he might destroy the works of the devil." God saved you so that you don't have to obey the devil anymore. God has called you to a purpose. And if you don't know what that purpose might be, then you need to get on your face before God and plead with him to show you. He called you. Do you think that he would call you and help you to succeed? He will. Keep this always in your mind. God's purpose for you is to cause you to be successful for him. That's his purpose, for you to be successful for him. Father, you are a great God, and you have built a beautiful world, and you control it. And Father, we want you to use us to fulfill your purpose for each one of us. Help us, Father, to listen, to experience, and to be empowered by your Holy Spirit. And may we fulfill your purpose for our life. And may we glorify you in all that we do, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Tim, if you'll lead us in our closing hymn, then we'll go ahead and open the business meeting. Thank you.
All right, let's all stand together for our closing hymn, number 108. 108, The Wonder of It All. We'll sing the first and second stanza, and we'll go back and sing the first stanza over again. So 108, Wonder of It All.
There's a wonder of sunset at evening, the wonder of sunrise I see. But the wonder of wonders that thrills my soul is the wonder that God loves. The wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me. Oh, the wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that the wonder of springtime and harvest, the sky, the stars, the sun. But the wonder of wonders that thrills my soul is a wonder that's only the wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me. Oh, the wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me.
First stanza again.
There's a wonder of sunset at evening, the wonder of sunrise I see. But the wonder of wonders that thrills my soul is the wonder that oh, the wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me. Oh, the to think that God loves me.
You may be seated. We would invite the visitors to stay if you would like. The men are going to pass out the financial information to you. If you are going to leave, at least get the financial information so you know what we did with your money. But we would like to have you stay and participate. This will not take a long time. There are two documents you're going to get. One is an annual profit and loss statement. The other is a statement that I see weekly that gives you where we were, the standing that the church was in last week at the end of getting the offering last week. And as soon as they will get those passed out. By the way, if you're wondering why I'm wearing Band-Aids, I had some cancer taken off, and I'm afraid I'm going to survive. That this will be going on for a couple of weeks. All right, I'm going to go ahead and call the annual business meeting in session for Coastal Shores Baptist Church, and we will open with prayer. Father, we thank you for guiding this ministry. And Father, we thank you for each part of our church family here. Father, we love them. We know they're important. And so, Father, we are going to try and do things decently and in order according to your word. May your will be done during this next year. May we be profitable for your kingdom during this next year. And Father, we pray that you will use each one of us to accomplish your will and purpose. And we will praise you for all the things that you do, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. You all now have the financial report. And like I said, there are two documents. One is called a weekly financial report that covers the first week of this year. And then you have an income and expense statement, which shows that we closed with all the bills paid last year and all of the accounts in the black, meaning we actually had money in them. As you look it over, are there any questions? This is your chance to get to know what we do here during the week. Yes. Yes, most of the year we were in the hole with missions. The deacons met, and what we do is we take a very small percentage out of every offering and we move that into a contingency fund in case we have something go on here that we need money for. And so what we decided to do at the beginning of December, and four deacons and myself were all in agreement, we took money out of the contingency fund and put it into the missions fund to bring the missions fund up to a positive balance. Many of the folks here in the church gave during the month of December, toward missions. Some of them gave some special offerings toward missions. So by the end of the year, we were $408 in the positive with the missions account. So we are starting out in a positive, with a positive number in the missions account. And let's see. I'm trying to figure out which document we need to look at. If you will look at the weekly financial document, you will see that when we started, the beginning balance for January was $122.56. No, I'm sorry. Missions account was $408. You see that? Second item on that weekly financial report. $408. Turn the page, and you will see that suddenly that account goes negative, $1,405. That's because we issued checks for $3,050. We paid all the missionaries. And where we didn't have enough in the missions account, we transferred it from the general fund. Now, if you will look at, this week it is positive because a lot of finances were given toward missions. So missions account is back in the positive range. Yes. We'll still be paying those. This is all the bills that were paid. Everything you see on here was paid. I'm sorry, I didn't. We no longer have anything to do with the buildings on the other side of the parking lot. This year they were paying a portion of this, but this is what we paid, yes. And they reimbursed us. You will see, under Income General Fund, you will see River Point reimbursement. $33,430. That was where they reimbursed us for their electricity and their water and their utilities, okay? But now we don't have any of that to take care of. We just have the church. And if you look under expenses, you will see salaries. You will see that I am paid $30,000 a year. We don't hush up any of this, okay? It's just the way it is. Any other questions? If you have questions afterwards, if you think about something that you have a question of, you can get in touch with me and I will try and answer your, I will answer your question. We don't have any secrets here. But if there are no further questions right now, I would entertain a motion that we accept the financial report as submitted. Jimmy seconds it. Jimmy Hux seconds it. Lacey Allen made the motion. All in favor, say aye. All opposed, the same sign. No opposed, thereby it passes unanimously. Now, let me read the minutes of the last business meeting. It was a quarterly business meeting held April 3rd of 2022. The meeting was called to order at 11:50 and opened with prayer led by the pastor. A church financial report was given showing a bank balance of $44,610. It was further reported that all bills were current and paid, It was further reported that the missions account was showing a small deficit, but all missionaries had been paid in full. Under new business, the pastor reported that the leadership had decided that we will be working to stream our services on YouTube or some other media, as well as information about salvation to other studies that would make it be available worldwide. The cost of this would be approximately $5,000. We will begin receiving funds toward this project immediately. The project will require 6 people each week for camera operation, direction, editing, and posting to internet. The congregation, by show of hands, indicated that they would like to pursue this proposal. No vote was taken. The next piece of new business was presented to the congregation by the pastor as leadership's desire to sell River Point Christian Academy the property that they were now leasing. Information was presented concerning the process for such a transaction. Bostic Law Group would handle all of the legal work involved, and the price would be $600,000 to the school, to be paid at the rate of $5,000 per month in lieu of rent for 10 years. The floor was then open for discussion. There were questions and some objections to the proposal. Discussion continued for some time, and it was suggested that Kathy and Bob, the directors of the school, would be present on the following Sunday to share their vision for the school and answer any questions that the congregation might have. That transaction took place on October 1st of this past year, and they now own that piece of property. There was no vote taken on a proposal, but it was suggested that the congregation would pray about the proposal and that in 2 weeks a vote would be taken to proceed as presented or alter the proposal. That vote was taken, and it was affirmative. There was, I think it was 22-2. The meeting was adjourned with prayer at 1:20. Respectfully submitted, Pastor Ken McBride. Any alterations or additions to our minutes? I would entertain a motion that they be accepted then. Okay, Tim makes a motion. Do I have a second? Okay, Bobby Wood seconds it. All in favor, say aye. All opposed, the same. All right. Now, there is no further old business. All old business has been completed. Columns have been installed. Everything that we had talked about has been done. So, our next item of business is new business. And under the new business, we would like to replace 3 missionaries that we lost during the last 2 years. We had one missionary who never made it to the field. He and his wife decided that was not what God wanted them to do. They were going to Europe. They withdrew. So we did not have to support them. There was one missionary that was going to China, and he was finally flagged by the Chinese government and cannot get back into China. And so he is ministering in a church in New York to Chinese people. And he no longer needs our support, and so we stopped supporting him about 6 months ago. That was Edward de Reyes. And one missionary, Jesse Morgan, who was operating a Christian camp in Georgia. We were supporting him last year. He withdrew last month. He resigned last month and left his mission, which was a church, a local church. And so we lost 3 missionaries. We'd like to replace those 3 missionaries. And let me share, we would like to add these 3, and we'll take them one at a time once we vote on them. We would like to add Chosen People Ministries, which is a ministry to the Jewish people by saved people. Chosen People Ministries. Chosen People Ministries. They operate out of New York, and they're building a new facility in Tel Aviv. The second one would be Bobby Wood Jr., Bobby Wood's son, who has been ministering in Utah to the Mormon churches. At one time, when he was here in church, he said, I have all the support I need. I don't need any more support. But his situation has changed. He is no longer pastoring a church up there. He's overseeing many churches and involved in church planting. So 100% of the offering going to him, which would be $150 per month, will go into the church planting ministry there in Utah. And then the third family is the last family we had here of missionaries, which is the Dunlop family to France. And you remember they had two little girls, and they visited with us, and he put on a service. And so those are the three families that we would like to add. Each one would be supported at $150 per month, which is our current monthly rate of support to all of our missionaries. Yes. Yes, he's ready to go now. He's got, I think they already have airline tickets for sometime in February. I just got an email from him. Yeah, he's on it. They had to raise their support, and he has raised his support, and they are headed for France. They're not there yet, but they're headed there. I can't tell you that. I don't have the information in front of me. He told us when he was here where they were going. Okay. Any other questions? All right. I'll have to entertain a motion that we take on these missionaries and vote on them singly. Do I have such a motion? Then we will take on three new missionaries. Okay, Tim, again, makes the motion. Do we have a second? Okay, we have a second from Melissa Lee. We will take, first of all, the Chosen People Ministries, which is a ministry to the Jewish people in Israel. All in favor say aye. All opposed, same sign. None opposed, accepted. Bobby Wood Jr., working in Utah in church planting. All in favor of taking him on at $150 a month, say aye. All opposed, same sign. He's accepted. The Dunlop family to France at $150 a month. All in favor say aye. All opposed, same sign. He is accepted. All right, we will be adding these three missionaries. They are replacing missionaries that at one time were on our missions list, but are no longer there, okay? Very good. Now, let me furnish you with a little bit of information. I'm going to make this as short as I possibly can. In May 15th through 18th, we do have dates we're working on. That is a Monday through a Thursday. We would like to take a motor coach and the church family, those who would like to go, to Kentucky to see the Ark, to experience the Ark, and then to go on up to the Creation Evidences Museum. The Ark you would see on Tuesday, Creation Evidences Museum you would see on Thursday, and then on Thursday, would see on Wednesday, and then on Thursday we would travel back to Charleston. We do not have any cost yet. We are still getting all of the information together, but there will be some, the church will help with some scholarships where it's needed. That is in the works. That's a plan, okay? You know what happens to the best laid plans of mice and men? We're working on it, okay? So we don't have enough information to give you everything right now. Secondly, we have two special meetings scheduled for this year. The first will be Joe Mueller and his family beginning March 19th through March 26th. They will be coming in from Illinois. He has seven children. We already have a place for them to stay, and we are looking forward to their ministry. They are musically inclined. The children are. His wife plays the piano. They're going to take the entire service. I mean, I will introduce them, and it will be theirs for a week. Okay? That'll be Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night again. That is Joe Mueller. I don't know if he's any relation to George, but if you know who he is. But anyway, he and his family will be coming in. They will be presenting the service, the entire service for that week of meetings. The reason we don't call them revival is because revival has to be through the Holy Spirit. But we can have special meetings encouraging revival, and we all need revival in our hearts. And so that's why we bring these folks in to minister to us. And so they will be coming in. Those arrangements are already made. We have already got a place for them to stay. And I'm looking forward to their ministry to us, that it will be effective and that we will. I know some of the people who know them. I have never met him, but I know some of the folks who do know him. I've known them for 30 or 40 years. In fact, they are in ministry also, and they very highly endorse him. Yes. He will be meeting in the evenings at 6:30. All right? Giving everybody a chance to get home from work. It'll be 6:30 each evening. Sunday night will be 6 o'clock. And Sunday night will be 6 o'clock. 6:30. Okay? So we won't have Bible study. We'll have Bible study, but it'll be his Bible study. And we have reserved a Airbnb over near where Jane and Jean live, over near Lowe's. All right, then we have a second meeting. The next meeting will be with Mike Schrock. Remember Mike from this past February? Mike is going to be here July 23rd through July 28th, he and his wife. He's the trumpet player. Okay. Any questions about those meetings? Those meetings are already scheduled. All right, we have one more proposal to make, and I see that he has already left the auditorium. The deacons are proposing that we add two additional men to the deacons to help serve the church family. The two men are Johnny Ramey and Ricky Ramey. I have talked with both men. They are both qualified as deacons. And they have agreed to serve as deacons. So, again, Ricky has left this area, and so we will go ahead and are there any questions? I would entertain a motion then that we call Johnny and Ricky Ramey as deacons. Okay, Linda Lewis has made that, and Jimmy is seconding it back there. All right, let's go ahead and vote on Johnny first. How many would like to elect Johnny Ramey as one of our new deacons? Say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Same sign. Right, then he has elected. And Ricky Ramey, all in favor of Ricky serving as a deacon? Say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Same sign. And he is unanimously elected. All right. Is there any further business that needs to be transacted that any of you know of? None being placed forward, I would entertain a motion to close. All right. Becky seconds it. Okay. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for a church that has unity in Jesus Christ. Thank you for a church that loves you and wants to serve you and wants to glorify you. May your will be done in this ministry during this next year. Father, help us to be faithful, to follow your leading, to do the things you would have us to do, and may we see souls saved in this year to come. And we will praise you for what you do, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.